why are we continuing to see such huge gaps in mental health, such as LGBTI Australians being more than twice likely to qualify for an anxiety disorder?
I think actually what's most important when we look at these health outcomes for LGBTI people is actually it's nothing innately in of itself deficit about LGBTI people. It's the fact actually that we're living in a society and a culture where we still experience a significant amount of stigma and discrimination. And it's those experiences that then have a negative impact on our mental health.
So those who identify as homosexual or bisexual are three times more likely to use illicit drugs as well, and that's seen across all age groups. How does the higher psychological distress correlate with this drug use? Because I know anxiety can cause a lot of fear for participating in life, let alone going out and, you know, taking drugs.
Yeah, and I guess it's that mix of that. Often drug use can be used as that coping strategy, that if you're someone who's experiencing a lot of psychological distress or trauma, anxiety, depression, often you want to make those feelings go away. And drug and alcohol use can be a way that people numb some of those thoughts and feelings. And I think secondly, also, a lot of our community spaces, the places where you can go and connect and engage with other people who are just like you, sometimes often centre around pubs and clubs where drug and alcohol use can be quite high. So I think it's a mix of both of those things, that we want to connect, but sometimes to connect, we use drugs and alcohol to make that easier.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of factors that would probably come into it. Talking about data, I guess, as well, there's probably quite a big lack of data, national data, on the health of LGBT Australians affected in the creation of solutions in their health inequalities. So, the data can have, I guess, a big impact on us being able to find out ways to address problems.
Absolutely. And there's a huge lack of data. And this report actually acknowledges that lack of data as well. And actually, this report only talks about gay, lesbian and bisexual people, and actually doesn't start to delve into transgender and intersex people, which often have higher experiences of poor mental health compared to gay, lesbian and bisexual people. But there is so much we don't know. And there's just a lack of our national health data actually asking questions around, are you an LGBTI person? What is your sexuality? What is your gender? Do you have an intersex variation? And without that data, we actually don't truly know the real picture of what is actually happening. And then we actually can't actually develop solutions that actually meet the needs of the LGBTI communities.
I guess a good question is, how do we work towards minimising the mental health gaps for LGBTI Australians? Because I guess this could be done from an early age, or it could be done from, the person that has kind of realised that they're in this community, for them to have to reach out maybe, or is it something that the community should just kind of distribute across all people in the community?
I think it's probably a mix of all of those. I think ultimately, certainly our work at the National LGBTI Health Alliance is, if we are working to create a society and a culture that's more accepting and diverse and inclusive, that the health outcomes for LGBTI people will improve. But also knowing that that's a long-term goal and a long-term journey, so there needs to be other interventions and support that are given directly to LGBTI people in the meantime. So I think it's a multi-pronged approach, but ultimately I think if we move towards a culture that's more inclusive, we will see better health outcomes.
I guess what would be one of those, or a few of those kind of techniques that, like, I guess the question I'm trying to ask is, what needs to be done in terms of minimising the mental health gap? I guess there's the community or individual technique, but what are some of the, facilities people can go to in order to close that gap?
Yeah, and I think, like, even though we've now achieved marriage equality, but even still at that legal national level, there's still lots of inequality towards LGBTI people. And certainly the lack of data that we have also means that there's a lack of programs that are developed to specifically meet the needs of LGBTI people. So what we have is often LGBTI people seeking services and support from services that aren't being tailored to meet their needs. So they're going to mainstream generic services. And they might have some level of awareness, but often the LGBTI person themselves has to educate their service provider about their health needs. So rather than actually the health provider being on the front foot and knowing what it is they need to do to support LGBTI people. So it's a mix of, actually, we need better data. we need specific programs that are developed to specifically meet the needs of LGBTI people. And we need funding and resources that are dedicated to our communities to support our mental health to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very important issue, a very complicated issue, but definitely should be one of the issues at the forefront of the things that we need to nail down in the next couple of years, that's for sure. So thank you so much, Sally, for joining us this morning and telling us about the recent report from The Australia.
Thank you very much for having me.